Like many developing countries, the images out of Ethiopia are often bleak. The images of poverty, war, and famine are all too familiar. But few people outside Africa are familiar with the sounds of Ethiopia. That is Mulatu Astatke. He is the godfather of Ethiopian jazz, and thanks to crate-digging DJs and the 2005 movie Broken Flowers, his music has now reached a global audience. Mulatu joined us recently to talk about his long legacy of music making. I started by asking him why Ethio jazz was becoming popular with international audiences today.
It's been taking, like, actually very long time for this music to be accepted, you know. So from places I play, places I perform, and, you know, things like that, and also doing recording, a lot of musicians seems to love it and seems to like it very much.
How would you describe it, that sound?
So how I described it is it's 5-tone against 12. This is how the Ethio jazz is, like the 5-tone being Ethiopian scales, and the 12-tone will be international, known, very famous progressions. So it's actually the connections of these two cultures, I should say, makes Ethio jazz.
It has, to me, from as a listener, kind of an eclectic sound, which means to me that it's you're drawing from different types of music, different cultural sounds. Is that correct or not?
The rhythms is very Ethiopian, and what we have actually combined is the harmonic structures, what we call the 12-tone musical structures, because our musical instruments hasn't reached to that stage. So I have actually to use pianos or guitars to actually combine it with the 5-tone scales.
Really? So you're saying that the instruments that are made or created in Ethiopia don't have the musical range for you to do the things that you want?
Yeah, what I'm trying to say, actually, see, our music usually is based on 5-tone scales, or what you call pentatonic. Our cultural musical instruments hasn't been developed.
Let's go back to the 1960s in Addis Ababa. Talk about the jazz music climate in your country at that time.
I started the development in America. I was at Berkeley in Boston. You know the situations, mostly in the third world countries, their attitude to music was actually very low. They have never taken music as a science or as a great subject like maths or physics or something. Whereas in a developed country, music has been taught in high schools, elementary schools, in kindergarten, as compulsory, like any other subjects, you know. So I've been one of the lucky African to attend high schools in England. Actually, that's where I found out my talent, because I got a chance. So at that time, we had teachers there, European teachers there. We actually teach the musicians to read and play charts from different bands here, from America, actually, music charts and things like that. They could read very nice. But as far as improvisations, as far as the jazz feeling, actually, was not around. I remember always teachers telling us at Berkeley, said, we can only give you the tools. After that, it's you what to do with it.
Now, you were the first African student at Berkeley, correct?
Exactly.
What was it like for you to come from home to there, to be put in that musical surrounding, particularly given what you just described about the lack of really foundational support?
Actually, I went from England to America. So by the time I came to America, I think I was okay. I know exactly what was happening. And also, going to Berkeley, that was like plus two to what, you know, to what I wanted to do. So always telling us, we can give you only the tools and do. And then I came out, moved to New York. I created a music called the Ethio Jazz.
Now, let me ask you this. Talk about your interaction and your meeting and your involvement with the great Duke Ellington. How did that come about?
Well, that was great. Duke was one of the great musicians I've admired always in my life. Even I was studying in America at Berkeley, and we also used to study his compositions, his arrangements as well. And I always wanted to meet a great man like him. So he came over to Ethiopia for the Jazz Ambassadors Tour. And that's where I met him. So, in fact, the American Embassy made me his escort, you know. I was supposed to be his escort by the American Embassy. So we're staying at the Hilton Hotel, and we've been discussing about music, and I took him around and showed him some of our very interesting musical instruments for him to evaluate and talk about. And finally, I had the opportunity to write music for his band and perform together at the Addis Ababa Hilton.
That should have been something.
I tell you, that was my really great dream, and it happened with Duke's band, you know.
Oh,
so it was a great privilege. I really thank him so much, and he played my music, and I remember, I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I've never expected this from African." That's what he said.
Interesting.
So it was very interesting.
Talk for a minute, if you can, about how your music has changed. You're the godfather, the founding father of Ethio Jazz in the 60s. Compare what that sound was then with what your sound is now.
It's about 45 years since I've done my recordings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dream of Ethio Jazz in the future would be to upgrade Ethiopian musical instruments so they can be able to play 12-tone music. So to play Ethio Jazz with our cultural instruments, using all our traditional musical instruments, will be my dream.
Hip-hop artists have been sampling your songs, repurposed them into new compositions. How do you feel about that?
To tell you the truth, I don't feel very good about that, because my line is different than hip-hop. What I've dreamed to those music, to those melodies, to those rhythms, actually was different. It's what I call the Ethio Jazz. But what they did to those melodies and things and arrangements are a totally different approach toward our thinking about those melodies. But anyway, people seem to love it. And I'll just watch and see what the next movie is going to be.
You recently recorded an album with the UK band, the Heliocentrics. You don't want the hip-hop artists to sample your music, but you don't mind doing this. Why is that?
Well, I mean, Heliocentrics is not very hip-hop. So we try to come up with something different, what we've done. So it's like jazz fusions, all kind of things happening on this recording, you know.
I was caught by one of the songs because it had an Afro-Cuban sound to it, cha-cha. I would not have ordinarily thought of an Ethio-Jazz expanding to Afro-Cuban sound.
Well, to tell you the truth, all this rhythm you mentioned, I belong to Africa. That's where the roots is and where it comes from. So, cha-cha-cha.
This is great. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in.
You. Thank you so much.
It's been our pleasure.
Great man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
sir. Bye-bye.
That was Mulatu Atsdatki, godfather of Ethiopian jazz. He joined us here at the studios of NPR West.